Good morning. At this time, I want to thank Grace and Margaret as they are standing up to go downstairs for children's worship. And I want to invite anybody who is with children or is a children by themselves sitting alone, if they want to go downstairs with Grace and Margaret and join the 10 kids from the Spanish congregation, hopefully, that went down last week, will go again this week. So if you have any kids, William, I know you want to stay, so he just wants to hear Dad preach today. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, whether it is spending a night up at camp and all the work that I did there yesterday, the time that I spent with the youth up there at the youth rally, only having one kid and myself in the house. It was a lot harder this morning to be organized and have things go fluidly, even though we normally come in two vehicles. It just didn't go the way it normally does today, so. No. He's not driving the Pontiac right now. We need to fix the exhaust on it still. We're looking at Psalm 139, and it's going to be the last psalm that we're looking at least for a while. The end of this is going to seem shoehorned because it is, but I think this is really important for us to look at as a group. This psalm really speaks to us when we have a deep desire to be pure. We have a deep desire to be cleansed from what is around us, what is inside of us, whether that is a spiritual yuck that is surrounding us or that we're fighting inside, or if it's a physical yuck of cancer and sickness and disease and the general culture that we are saturated with every day. This psalm really speaks to us in all of those ways, and it's pretty heavy. And for that reason, some of my slides are not as heavy. The first thing we have to do, we're called to this, is to be aware. Jim, you didn't leave it marked on the same psalm. So in 139, the psalmist entreats us to be aware. He says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways." What am I supposed to be aware of here? Wow, that's just talking about what God knows about me. "Before the word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." What's really cool about these six verses to me is that this gives us a very clear idea of Abba, Father. Those of you that have kids, think about how well you know their schedule, how well you can read their emotions and their thoughts from across a room. David is telling us here that God is the exact same way with us. God knows us so well that he can see us across a room and know exactly where we're at. Just like we do with our kids. It's the same thing. I read this and it hit me for the first time that I know my kids in a similar way to how God knows me. Yeah, he knows me differently than I can know Michael or William or Abby. But when he looks at me, he looks at me the same way that I look at them. And he cares about the hurts and the struggles that are going on in my life the same way that I care about theirs. The same way that I feel when William is doing a juried recital and forgets a note and keeps going. That's exactly how God feels when I'm living my life and that guy that's camped in the left lane is there and I miss a note. That's what we have to be aware of. We have to be aware of ourselves. We have to be aware of what God thinks of us. And that involves looking at ourselves in the mirror and remembering when we walk away what we see, warts and all. Things that we're happy with, things that we want to see changed, we have to be aware of them. Now, God's purpose in examining us isn't to judge. It's not to say, oh, there's one. We're getting close. I'm going to have to delete this one soon. No. The reason that he knows us so deeply is the same reason that I know my kids so deeply, because I love them. God knows us deeply because he cares about us, because he wants to be around us. And when we are in sin and lost from him, it hurts. Just like when we are separated from family, it hurts us. Whether it's their choice or ours, there are times in our lives when we're separated from family and it hurts. So be aware that while God knows you and God is watching you and understands your heart and knows what you're going to choose, that's because he cares about you and because he wants you to be his child. The next verses. Tell us that we need to be mindful. Verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. We have to be mindful. We have to realize and remember that God is present everywhere. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, God is there. Whether we welcome him or not, he knows, he sees, and he loves us. Sometimes love means putting someone aside and putting them away from you because of actions and choices that they have in their life. And that hurts a lot. It hurts God a lot too. But he cannot abide us making choices that are not in accordance with what he desires, that are not in accordance with what he is. We have to realize that. We have to be aware of that. David tells us that no matter where we try and hide, whatever we try and wrap ourselves in, whatever we try to get lost in, God is capable of being there. He's capable of finding us. Even if we're at camp playing sardines, anybody have any clue what sardines is? Hmm? Tasty. William, what's sardines?
It's a reverse of hide and seek.
Yeah, it's a reverse of hide and seek. So you're trying to get as many people into, generally speaking, the smallest space possible without being discovered. It can be interesting. But that's kind of, it's very similar to us trying to hide something from God. It's impossible to hide even two teenagers playing a game like that. It's impossible for us to hide from God. Now, we have to be mindful. And that at times, being mindful has the idea of taking time to reflect on things, taking time to be away from the busy lives that we have, taking time to go up. For me, it's going up to camp normally. and being able to get away from everything, even though I have cell phone coverage there now, it's a chance to just be calm. And to, it's funny because for me, I love the sound of the falls. William and I slept in the lodge for the first time ever, and having that window open and being right above the falls and hearing it roar all night long, I was just, oh, this is awesome. And we were on one of those hanging beds, and it was great. And you could feel God there. And that peace that I get from that place, the next morning I'm talking with somebody. They said, I can't believe it. I couldn't sleep last night. The falls were just so loud, and the sound was there the entire time. It's like I couldn't turn it off. The sound that I found so beautiful was hard for them to hear, because I know the falls, because I've spent time there, because when I hear them, I have memories of people and activities. And so it's a beautiful thing to me. But for them, they don't know the falls. All they heard is the rushing water. When we know God, like I know the falls, it's a beautiful thing. It's a comforting thing. It's something that can allow us to just have peace. And when we don't know God, it's a roaring sound that is just there, that we don't understand, that we have no connection to, and that doesn't give us any peace. But he wants us to know him. He wants us to have that connection. He wants us to, like I've been able to be in the falls. He wants us to be in him. We have to be aware of that, and we have to be mindful of that. He wants that relationship. His purpose is for us to not hide ourselves. His purpose is for us to come together as a family, and to be connected and to be close together. That's going to be important to the shoehorn later. It's comforting, though, isn't it, really, to know that there isn't anywhere that we can go that God isn't with us. When we went to Ukraine as newly, we'd been married a year. No, we hadn't even been married a year yet. Yeah, 1 year. 2001. It was 2 years when we went to Albania. We went to Ukraine on a 6-week mission trip. We did prison ministry in Ukraine. It was really good to remember that as I was going into that prison, that God was there with me. And yes, the Ukrainian minister that we were working with was there, and I felt safer. I knew two of the guards that we were going with. But knowing that God was there, even in that place that was so dark for so many people, it doesn't matter where we are. He is with us. He wants to be walking with us everywhere. He doesn't want us to hide from him. He wants us to walk in that light. He's trying to provide the light all the time. And really, our lives are in the light, whether we admit it or not. When we say that we're living in darkness, it's because we're deceiving ourselves. We may be in the shadow of that sin, but the shadow is only there because of the truth and righteousness and glory of God. Because without him, everything is darkness. Verses 13 through 18. Before you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Be thankful. God has created you. He planned the birth process. He planned our growth inside the womb. David says that we are purchased. He says that in the verses here, the creation and the weaving together is talking about, the word that's used talks about the internal organs, all of our inner workings, everything about us, God knows. Thinking about that, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Seeing our bodies, seeing the creation around us, gives us pause. It gives us reason to praise God for what he has created and how he has made it. When I have opportunity to be at something like the youth rally that is still going on at camp right now, and to see young people coming together, and to see barriers come down for kids just in a short amount of time. And you may not see it, but Michael has barriers, and he keeps people at arm's length. And to watch him go in and be with kids that he knows from camp, that he trusts, is amazing. And I can see God's hand in things like that. I can see God's hand as I watch relationships in between church members grow and change. And that just makes me want to praise God all the more, because when I see someone, there are times that you see somebody and you're just like, not that person, God. That's not the right person for the church. I know this. Sometimes you pray about it, and God brings that person into the church and says, no, this is the exact right person. This is the person that you need. This is the person that the church needs. We have to stop and we have to praise him for things like that, because it does a couple of things. It humbles us and helps us to remember that we don't know best, and that our first impressions of people and things is not always right. And it also reminds us that God is preparing people for the right time and the right place for them to be the right person to have an impact for him. And we need to praise him for that. When we see that happen, we need to call it out and say, that is amazing. My preconceived notions were wrong, and I am amazed at God's insight. David is doing just that with his words here. God had a purpose in creating us. That purpose was for us to be here today. That purpose is for us to proclaim him to other people. He doesn't want us to just decide, hey, this is it. Being here on Sunday morning is what I'm all about. Being able to sing songs and pray together with the people that decided to gather today, this is as good as it gets. He doesn't even want us to go to a camp session and experience that. And those of you who have been counselors, those of you who have been campers at WCYC and other Christian camps, know the community that happens there. You know the feeling of family that's created around those devotional fires. Even that is not why he created us. He created us to take that feeling and share it with everyone around us, because he wants everyone that has been created, because he knit everyone together, He wants everyone to have the opportunity to have those experiences and to have those feelings, to feel that connection with him. So praise him for creating us to do that. And the best way to praise him for creating us to do that is to go out and share those feelings, to invite people to come here, and to create an atmosphere here at Southside like the atmosphere that we have at camp. We can do that. It is possible. We have to be alert. Now, be alert. We have to flee from the wicked. This part of the psalm is maybe a little bit tricky. And up until now, it's pretty good. I mean, other than David talking about, I can't hide from you, and ways he might try and run away from God, this is the hardest part, probably. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I hate those people that hate God. You know what, though? God doesn't hate them. He wants them to be your brother and sister. The guy camped in the left lane, he wants them to know him the same way that we do. And so, when we're asking him to remove them, really, we're asking for their death. Yes, yes, exactly. Their death in baptism. Their death in becoming one with Christ. That's the death that we should be praying for. That's the death, even though David doesn't realize it as he's saying this, I don't think. That's the death that we want for them. We want for them to know Christ. And so, yes, pray for their death. Pray for their burial. Pray for them to be raised to a new life. That's what God wants. The people that we see that we feel are not following God, that we think are drawing people away from him, pray for them even harder. They're hard to be around. Okay. He wants them to be his children. We have to have the same desire. We have to, as David does, we have to declare our loyalty to God. We have to live with that, and we have to do it. We have to be alert. There's the cute deer. Think about this. David's hatred of the wicked is motivated for his zeal for God. His desire to see the wicked erased from the earth is because he wants to see God's name advanced. He wants to see God glorified. What gives God more glory than someone coming to him and seeking his forgiveness? Someone coming to him and asking to become his child. Embracing Christ as their Savior. That is the absolute best way that we can glorify God, is in encouraging someone to do that. And our choice to follow him is one of the biggest praises that we can give to him for his creation, for his love for us, for everything that he has done. Be repentant. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We want God to look at our inner thoughts. We want to invite him to do that. Because in inviting him to do it, we do it ourselves. And we look at who we really are. And that is important. We have to ask for that time to reflect. And once we've reflected, we have to repent of those things that are in us that keep us from being what God wants us to be. Whether that is seeing someone and saying, not that one, God. And changing our mindset to when we meet someone who's difficult, saying, I wonder what it is that they have that the church needs. I wonder who it is that they can minister to that nobody else can. Instead of seeing them as a hard person that is difficult to be around and difficult to get along with, seeing them as a minister for Christ who can do so much good in this world. When God worked on me in that way and helped me to see that, made it a lot easier to see people and to, even when it was difficult to work with them, see ways that God could potentially use them for the kingdom. We want God to stir us so that we will follow him. We want the fire that we have when we are first baptized, that desire that we have to share with everyone, we want that to be something that is lifelong. At least we should. I hope we do. Just like as a fire starts to die down and you can stir the coals up and get a fire going again, we need to ask God to do that in our lives, because just like I said this morning, it didn't go the same. It was different. Something was just off. There's times when in our walk with Christ, something is just off. And we have to ask him to get that fire going again. And that's what David is asking for here. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Stir me. Draw me to where you want me to be, God. David got it. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Because we are not honest with ourselves. And God sees only truth. He sees through all the lies that we tell ourselves, all the things that we hide behind, and knows us. And when we go to him and ask him to reveal that to us, it's us setting aside all of those lies and looking at ourselves. And that's what we need to do. Psalm 139 is beautiful. It's amazing. I love it. It calls us, I think it calls us, like most of Scripture does, it calls us to be family. It calls us to be together. Now, ask God to revive you. That is the end of this psalm. It's asking him to stir us to action, to give us opportunities to have spiritual lives that are glowing with fire for him, with zeal for his kingdom, and with eyes that see the people around us who need him, and eyes that can see how they fit into this puzzle. Now, look at this picture. Here comes the shoehorn. Look at how close those kids are together. If you've been to camp, think about sitting at the different devotional sites that we have and how close people sit. And now think about the difference in the singing that you hear when you're that close together. And now, look around in our auditorium and see all of the space that we have. And I'm not talking about we need to fill this up with people. That's part of it. I'd love to. But we need to be closer together. We need to be closer together so that, just like coals in a fire pit, we have more energy and we have more heat. It improves our singing. It improves our ability to make connections with each other. And this is shoehorned because I have a friend who posted this awesome beginning to a series of articles that he's going to be sharing that he's titling Meet Me in the Front. It's a preacher that I know from Nebraska that's now down south, but he's encouraging people to look at the empty spaces in their pews and to fill them in. Not with necessarily new members, although, as he says again, that's awesome. But his call is this. He says, in the last few years, I've had so many young adults and teens express frustration over the current situation in many of our churches. Lots of these buildings have the capacity to seat a bunch, but are about a third full. And everyone is in the back or all spread out. The younger generations in the Lord's church, many of them grew up going to church camps, youth rallies, stairwell singings, retreats. If you've done any of those things, think about it. Think about how close you are in doing those, how close you are in traveling to those events. All these tend to focus on connections and closeness while driving home a sense of community of believers. As many of these begin to grow up and out of the youth group, they find their church members very disconnected from each other. The singing is not as meaningful as it could be because everyone is spread out. The feeling of togetherness is lacking. A feeling of accountability and support is sometimes missing as well. Now, Caleb has the rest of the article. I'll put it up by my door if you want to read it. Actually, if you have Facebook, it's already posted on the church's Facebook page. Take time to think about that. Take time to think about next Sunday sitting one or two pews closer. I know it's hard now. I know that we're all still cautious about different health things than we were before. But when I think about before, and I think about standing here at the pulpit in even 2016, when I started at Southside, I think about how spread out we still were even then. And even then, one of the things that we talked about when we said, what are the things that we should improve as a church? We said it was singing. If we really believe that, if you really feel that, one of the ways that we can do it, and it's true, is for us to sit closer together. And I guarantee you that Cliff and anyone else that gets up and leads singing is going to be super excited if he has more voices at the front of the auditorium than spread out throughout it. It also creates more community. Revive you. How can you be revived without other people? If you lose consciousness and there is not someone there to perform CPR, you may revive. But if there is someone there to minister to you immediately, your chance of reviving is much higher. If we are closer together, if we are tighter as a family, physically and spiritually, the chance of us being able to recover a brother or sister who is falling away is higher. The better we know each other, the closer we are physically and spiritually, the more family we have. The more we notice when someone isn't here. The more we notice when someone is hurting. So, as we consider Psalm 139 and how well God knows us and how well he sees us, I encourage you as a congregation to look around and to take time to consider how well we know each other and to take time to embrace that, to be aware of the people around us, to be mindful of their lives, their struggles, and the difficulties that they face, to be thankful that they are here, to be thankful that they are choosing to worship God, to be thankful that they have committed themselves to him, to be alert, to see when someone is missing, and to act on that, and to be repentant. I'm not saying that where we are or what we're doing is wrong, but I am saying that we need to ask God to revive us. We need to ask God to help us to be the congregation and the Christians that he wants us to be, that he has created us to be. He has created us to serve him, to live for him, and to be on fire for him. Not to come and check a box and say, I've been here. Ask him to look inside of you and see if there is anything offensive. Ask him to lead you in the ways everlasting. Have the courage to do that, and then have the courage to act on what he tells you. And if at all possible, join my family. Allison doesn't know this yet because she wasn't here when I got the email from Caleb, but join us as we move closer, as we sit closer to the front. Join us as we do family game nights. Join us as we do activities as a church. Get to know each other. I know we travel long distances, but the more we invest in each other, the easier it's going to be for us to serve well together. And that is what we want. It's what I want. So if you are a member of this congregation, if you are a Christian, you are hurting, you need prayers, come and let me know. If you aren't a member of this body and anything that I said today causes you to say, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about what it is to be part of a body that expresses love and that wants other people to know that love, come and talk to me, because I want you to know more about my Savior. I want you to know more about Christ, and I want you to understand the plan and the desires that he has for your life. If you need prayers, if you need to be lifted up, if you have something amazing that's happened, come down and tell me about it so that we can share God's glory with others as we stand together and sing.